You know those moments where you think, I wish I would have learned this in school? Those are the topics that we love to talk about. Join me each week as I interview experts sharing their strategies for solving problems that us young adults will face throughout our 20s and 30s. So what are you waiting for? If you want new episodes about adulting advice every Monday, hit that follow button. I did not anticipate one of the biggest struggles in my 20s would be making friends. It was so easy in high school and college when I was surrounded by people. Although I've been lonely at times, I rarely spoke about it. I guess I had shame around feeling lonely, but that line of thinking has changed for me. It initially started when I was preparing for episode 49 with Michael Bauman, where we discussed loneliness. That opened up my eyes that more people are lonely than I thought. Then, when preparing for this episode, Jule Holman, today's guest, shared a New York Post article with me. That article surfaced many surprising findings, including survey results from adults affirming that 45% of them find it difficult to make a new friend. It also mentioned that confidence in making friends peaked at the age of 23. Survey results aside, when talking to others, I found that I'm not alone. Many adults find it hard to make friends. I'm excited to finally tackle this topic on The Struggle is Real. Jule Holman is a friendship expert. Through her work, she helps people stop overthinking their relationship and feel confident being themselves so that they can create the friendships that they have been craving. In this episode, we discuss three things every friendship needs, where to meet new people, and how to stop being awkward in conversations, which I know is something that I overthink way too much. I hope a blend of practical advice and emotional reassurance motivates you to give making friends another try. If you like this episode, share it with a friend, leave a rating review, and if you don't want to miss the next episode, hit that follow button. So let's get into it. I hope you enjoy my conversation with the recovering overthinker, brain-based practitioner, and friendship and connection coach, Jule Holman. Well, Jule, I'm excited for this conversation. We get to talk all things friendship and connection. You are so unique in this space. I think it's a topic that I've danced around on the podcast a few different times, but nothing that I've explored really extensively. I had a blast, you know, learning some of the friendship research, you know, going through all of that, some of those articles that you shared with me. And one of those articles was from the New York Post from May of 2019 titled, Why the Average American Hasn't Made a New Friend in 5 Years. And one of the statistics that really shocked me was that 45% of adults say that they find it difficult to make a new friend. That's surprising because that means about half of us out there walking around right now think it is difficult, but I don't hear about it that often either. The more I become vulnerable and open about the difficulties around making friendships, I often get the reciprocation as well that, yeah, I'm struggling that in that area as well. But why do you think that adults find it harder to make friends the older that they get?
Yeah. So first of all, I think it's not commonly talked about because we are all afraid of being like the odd one out. There's like this deep fear in all of us of, it's almost like a social death. Like we're so afraid of being ostracized or like isolated from the pack. It's so deeply wired in us. So I think nobody wants to admit it, that they're feeling that way. But like you said, like 45% or like it's crazy. I was looking it up before we hopped on and the surveyors and researchers are saying that about 3 out of 5 Americans feel lonely like regularly. So it's super, super common. But I think it's harder to make friends as you get older because when we are younger, especially in like grade school age, we have so much consistency with the people around us. We have so much like time invested and like meaningful time invested, right? You go to school and you hang out with other kids all day long and then you're like working on projects with them. You know, you're going outside and like recess and stuff like that. That consistency, some people can really get it at work, but especially now that a lot of us are working from home, I think that's going to play a huge part in it as well.
Yeah. And I know we'll talk about this later into the episode, but one of the three things that all friendship have is frequency. So yes, I feel like that was already taken care of whenever you're just in school with the same group of people, you know, really, honestly, all the way through college as well. I found it very easy to make friends in college because I was playing sports with them on a routine basis, or I was in class with them on a routine basis, or I was seeing them every single weekend on a routine basis. And all of that routine outside of your work environment, the structure of that really falls apart. One thing that really struck me whenever I was listening to you on a couple of other podcasts is, of course, this shame around loneliness, but you flipped it and you said, loneliness is just craving for connection. Similar to how we have hunger and that signals that we're hungry, we don't like shame ourselves for feeling hungry. Like that doesn't make any sense. Same with loneliness. It's truly just an indicator from your body telling you that you're craving some connection. So there's no reason to be shameful of that. It's just a trigger for you that, okay, this might be time that you need to go out and, you know, find some connection.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. No, that's one of my favorite things to say because, like you said, there is so much shame around it. We so often make it mean something negative about us rather than like what a beautiful thing to crave is like more connection in your life. I just think, like to think of it as like an opportunity. I think that alone is so helpful for people. And I'm glad that you are having me here to talk about this because I know so many people are either like resisting their loneliness, right? They're like trying to turn a blind eye or they're like wondering like, am I the only one that feels this way? No, like so many people feel this way and it's not a problem. It just means that you crave more connection.
Let's talk about you a little bit. I know you are in this space and worked in this space because you have struggled with this in the past as well. It seemed like there was a point in your life where friends moved away or friends had kids and you kind of looked around and you found yourself without a lot of deep, meaningful relationships and friendships. Can you tell me a little bit about that time of life and maybe some of the things that happened thereafter?
Yeah, absolutely. So the majority of my life, I spent being uncomfortable around other people. I spent it being very much in my head, analyzing what I did, analyzing. I was so focused on other people's like micro expressions and how they reacted to me. So concerned about it, felt really insecure. And then I had like this group of friends all throughout college. And then they started to, like you said, like they started to move away. My best friend has two kids now. And I was finding myself really, really craving connection, really feeling lonely. And it was something that finally I was like, okay, I really want to address this. So I had already been working in the coaching space. I was mostly helping people with their business and with productivity, which is kind of funny to think about now. So I used like a lot of the mindset tools that I help my clients with to get comfortable in social settings, to get comfortable like meeting new people, to go from feeling really insecure in my head to very present and very just comfortable being myself. So that was huge all on its own. And then I used like friendship research that I know you said we were going to talk about later, but using that research, I applied it to create like these new friendships. And truly, it cannot be understated. These are like the ideal friendships that I've always craved. And once I started doing that, people around me were like, hey, how did you become friends with these people, right? Like you're going on like girls trips all the time. You're always like doing something. And I was constantly getting comments like, oh my gosh, like your confidence has really grown, like amazing things. It was that moment where I realized like, oh, just like everybody else listening, I was like, I am really, really not the only one. And so many other people want this and are struggling with this. So I dove even further to friendship research. I worked with the leading friendship expert, Shasta Nelson, wanted to make it even simpler to help like other people do the same.
What's your friend dynamic look like now? Is it a combination of friends from college and that, you know, haven't moved away or, you know, had kids? I'm sure you're still best friends with your friend that also has kids right now too, but of course, just different life dynamics there. Or is this an entirely new group of people?
Right. Okay. I love that you said that because I think a lot of people look at friendship as like all or nothing, where they're friends or we're not. And there's so much gray area within that. It's totally not an all or nothing thing. So yes, I am still extremely close to my best friend that has two kids, but connection, just like any other emotion, that feeling of connection starts in your mind, like in what you think about. And the thoughts that I have about her, honestly, since having like new friends and having more connection in other areas, it's just like stronger with her now too. It doesn't take away from that at all. It only adds to it. But now I'm also getting other connection needs and cravings. Whereas like my friend that now has two kids, like she doesn't want to drop what she's doing and go get a drink with me on a Thursday night, right? Like that's a hassle with two kids. She's got, they're super young. now I have other people in my life that I can do that with as well. So it doesn't like take away from it. It's not an all or nothing thing. And now I would say, this is actually one thing I think it's important to mention is because friendship's a gray area, I have like what I call like my priority friends, my like commitment friends. And then I have like just a bunch of other good friends. And the reason why that's important to identify is because when you are trying to be super close to everybody, you end up like in shallow relationships with everybody. Yeah. You can only go so deep with so many people. There's only so much time in a day, right? Energy and thought that you have. So for me, and it doesn't mean I don't love any of my friends I would call good friends. Of course. It doesn't mean I love them any less, right? It's just for me, like how you would prioritize like your tasks, the biggest, most important ones, most urgent ones. I just like prioritize those relationships. So now I have like my priority friends and I have like amazing, like good friends around me. I do also want to say, because loneliness is also an emotion, I do experience that from time to time. The only difference is, and it's such a huge difference, is I don't make it mean that like I'm a loser or something. I don't make it mean something bad about me. And I know exactly what to do when I feel that way. I'm like, oh, like I want connection right now. And I have people in my life now that I can comfortably go to without thinking about it to like fill that need.
Is it true that because it sounds like I've heard you mention girlfriends this whole time. Is it true that you struggled with fitting in with the other girls, you know, all through high school or middle school, high school? You're someone that always kind of gravitated towards having guy friends versus girlfriends.
Yeah. Justin, I love that you asked this because, okay, it's so common for, especially I'm just going to say it for a lot of your female listeners too. I was just talking to someone the other day. I get this so often. I coach on it like once a week where people are like, I just don't feel comfortable around other girls. Girls feel that way around other girls. It makes like the call is coming from inside the house. Okay. And other girls are not the problem. What it is we are taught to not trust each other and feel comfortable around each other. We're taught that girls are like catty, whereas like men, it's like argumentative. When in reality, the process for friendship, whether it's with a girl or a guy, is no different. The conflict resolution, honestly, isn't even any different. But yeah, the majority of my life, I was telling you before we hopped on, my best friend, who's one of my priority friends, his name is Nick. We've been best friends since we were kids. For a long, long time growing up, he was like my only friend. And it was because I didn't feel comfortable around other girls. I had thoughts that they were going to be judging me, that they were going to be mean and talk about me behind my back. And it's those kind of thoughts that don't allow us to relax and feel comfortable around other girls. So it's not that we don't want female relationships. It's not that, you know, sometimes I hear like, oh, guys are less drama, which is so not true. So painfully not true. But also it's just because we have thoughts about other women that don't allow us to feel comfortable and safe. And now the scale is like totally flipped. Like I still have my guy friends, especially the ones that I grew up with. But now, like, because I feel safe and comfortable being myself, because I have different thoughts about other women, I'm much more comfortable around other women.
It is true. And part of that might be entertainment and media as well. Like throughout so much of these TV shows, it's always girls pitted against each other, especially if there's like a man that's in between them. And you see that in a lot of like early 2000s movies. It's been really refreshing seeing some of these TV shows recently that have not even let go of that, but also identified, or the core relationship in the TV show was like female friendships. Like it wasn't necessarily romantic relationships between, you know, a man and a female. And there was like this great girl best friend, but honestly, it was like centered around this friendship around two females.
Yeah, no, it's such a huge part of it. I like ranted about that on one podcast about how it's seriously, like, again, like it's everywhere. So if somebody is right now, like not feeling comfortable around other women, it's not a problem. It's what you were taught. And you can like question these thoughts now that you have the awareness of it.
Oh, Parks and Rec, Lisa and I think Anne, I haven't seen the show too often, But I like their relationship. That's like, oh, they're so fun.
Leslie and Ian. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And we also talked to New Girl before. That might stay in this podcast. It might not. But you were telling me about who you want to be friends with on New Girl. And we mentioned Jess. And I feel like she's got some good girlfriends there too. What's like her best friend? I'm so bad with New Girl. I've seen probably a dozen episodes, but spread across like all the different seasons. Oh, so yeah, like, I'm not like... I know. I really, really need to at some point in time. I really enjoy it. And it's good, just like lighthearted, fun TV show. But I find myself like, if I'm watching TV, I'm like watching either something action related or something like drama, psychological in that space. I don't watch a lot of TV in general. So it's hard for me to like consume these. Like I still haven't seen The Office. I have so many. I don't even want to list them actually. I'll get lit up here by listeners around like all the TV, like famous TV shows that I've never actually watched.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. But yeah, I agree. The humor is just so playful and fun. But yeah, Jess and Cece, they have really great example. Yeah, a female friendship.
The rest of this conversation, I think, will focus on friendship, and we'll kind of break it into two separate parts here. I think I want to spend a little bit of time on meeting new friends, and then I want to spend the second half of the conversation talking about creating deeper relationships or deeper friendships. I'll bring this back up again whenever we get to that point, but I know you're a big believer that you don't really need to like bring more people into your life, but you have a lot of great relationships already that you just need or want or potentially could go deeper with. Let's set that aside for a minute and assume that we're not those people. Maybe we move to a new city or we're just looking around and we do want to add some new people into our lives or, you know, potentially make some new friends that we don't know of right now. Where's a good place to start meeting new people? Let's assume that there is an aversion to the bar scene as well, where most people, especially young adults, tend to socialize. Let's assume that we don't want to meet friends there. What might be another good avenue?
Great questions, especially for those that have like moved across country or something along those lines. So I like to think of who do you want to be around? Like, what are they like? And kind of why do you want to be around them? So for me personally, I knew I wanted to be around other people that really wanted to make an impact. So that was something that I looked for. There's like clubs or networking events and stuff like that around me. Even if you're not like, for example, if you want to have like really like intellectual conversations with friends, like let's say that lights you up. And you don't even have to be like the biggest reader, but like if you know that's like the kind of like friend you want to be around, going to like a book club might be a great example for you. What that also does is joining something like a club or something that like meets regularly, like you and I talked about earlier, is you're going to want to have some consistency with these people. So often we expect to like go to like an event and be like, I didn't make any friends, or this is super common. We go and we like meet someone, we really like them, and we're like, oh, why didn't I go anywhere? Right? Just like dating, right? But just with friends. Oh, why didn't I go anywhere? Like, what happened? And we need to see people more than once. You need to have like some consistency because that's what creates like comfort is like, oh, like I already know this about this person. Now I'm seeing them again and I'm learning a little bit more about this and they're learning this about me, right? Which that's that knowing really creates connection. And if you just go to like one thing one time, you're not going to have really that experience and being like seen by somebody and seeing somebody. So I like to think of like, who do you want to be around and what kind of things in your area, where would those people go? Especially because if like, again, if you're just like moved somewhere, this is also something that can be really easy and take some of like almost like the nervousness out of it, because it is something that where other people are going to meet regularly. So like, for example, one of my close friends, she loves rock climbing. And so often, if you go to the gym, there's other people that are like, can you belay me, right? Like they're like, you know, so that's like super easy one way to like talk to people. So having that routine, especially if you've moved somewhere, is going to be really helpful in helping you get like acquainted and a little bit more comfortable and take some of the anxiety out of, oh, I just have to like walk up to a bunch of people and they don't want me to or something. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. I have met a lot of my friends in Austin here through rock climbing. Actually, it's one of my biggest hobbies, interest of mine. And I guess I probably took a very similar approach too. And I looked around and I said, I want more friends that share interest with me or hobbies, you know, that can participate in some of the hobbies that I really love. And so many of them are outdoor or athletic hobbies. So, you know, naturally I met tons of people through my climbing gym or through pickup soccer or, you know, volleyball, different things like that. And I love that. And now I have like a really core group of friends and I look around and I'm like, man, they're like all athletes. But I guess that was like kind of self-selected too. Like that was my intention behind it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's awesome. But yeah, I think it's important to note too, like, again, you don't have to be super interested in the thing. Like I like, again, like the book club example, like you don't have to be like the biggest reader in the world, but it's important to think about like who do you want to be around? And like, again, where would those people go to? Because sometimes people are like, but like I'm not like super interested in that. Don't let that be a barrier for you, you know?
Okay, so we're at book club or the gym or whatever it may be. And we are now talking to somebody. We're in conversation with somebody. And referencing that New York Post article again, they said the number one reason it's hard to make friends, surprisingly, the number one response was being introverted or shy. And I think a lot of us struggle with this, myself included, around feeling like we're being awkward in conversations and really struggling with being more authentic, you know, showing up as our authentic self as well. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this because
I figured so.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Because this is the thing that really lights me up because I remember what that was like. I remember feeling uncomfortable. And for me personally, I know not everybody does this, but for me personally, I hated it. Like I just wanted to feel comfortable being myself, even with like new people. First of all, like I'm going to address introversion. Being an introvert does not have to be a hindrance to making friends at all. If anything, it can really be an asset to you because introverts typically like more like one-on-one or like smaller groups. They like more like intimate settings like that. And again, like I said earlier, when we really feel connection is when we really feel like we know somebody and they get to know us. If you are like going out in like big groups all the time, you're not really going to like have that knowing with the whole group, right? So being an introvert, that all on its own, like I want to offer like that can actually be like a superpower in this. And like I encourage you to embrace it and to put yourself in a situation where you are in like smaller settings. As far as like going up to people and feeling like uncomfortable or shy. So first of all, everybody's awkward a little bit. Being human isn't awkward. It's part of the deal, like being around new people, a new environment. I love the example of like when you get a new job, like you don't know where anything is. Like your brain's just on like high alert, right? It's like, I don't even remember where the bathroom was, right? So like it feels awkward to be in that space. So when you're around new people, of course you're like assessing the situation. Like, of course your brain's going to be a little uncomfortable just because it's new. And that's fine. That doesn't have to be a problem. It's just so often when we are like, oh, we have the thought, like, oh, I'm being awkward. We make it such a huge deal in our heads. And we really like have it like us like hide away. I remember going to events and being there for like 30 minutes and just being like, I'm so awkward and leaving, honestly. So you don't have to make it a problem. I love to say like and offer this thought, like even Beyonce is awkward. Like it's awkward even for Beyonce to walk in a room and talk to a bunch of new people. It's just part of being human. The other thing is that so often we clam up, we get super shy, we like really retreat into ourselves because we are afraid of other people judging us. It feels really unsafe. So one thing, and I don't want to dive like too deep into this because I can stay there forever. One thing that's really important is to recognize, like, even if somebody has like a judgment about you, it means nothing about you and it's everything to do with them. It has everything to do with their thinking habits, with their filters, their perspective from their life. And the reason why we're afraid of other people judging us is because we're going to make it mean something terrible about us, right? Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier why. Or that I was always looking for like other people's micro expressions to see if they liked me or not. And I was doing it because I was trying to see like, oh, am I like cool enough? Am I like funny enough? we have to stop making other people's reactions to us mean something about us.
One of my favorite quotes that I heard on a podcast that you said was, nobody's opinion of me is my business. And I was like, yes, let's go. I mean, that is really hard to actually like embody that because, you know, of course you want to understand what other people are thinking of you, but it just doesn't do you a whole lot of good in any social situation.
Yeah. And it is something that I want to offer. Again, the majority of my life, I spent like taking things personally again, like, and it was such a habit for me that I was doing it all the time constantly. So I want to offer like the person that's like, yeah, like that's like next to impossible. It's not like you really can create a habit of, okay, we're all going to care what people think a little bit. That's human. It's wired into us. It doesn't have to be a problem. Again, just like being awkward, it's only a problem if you make it one, but it can be a habit to not take things personally. It can be a habit to think like, oh, that's just them. That is a thought that I have so often now, and it allows me truly to be comfortable no matter who's around me. Even if I know that they don't like me, even if I know that we disagree on something, or even if they're like brand new and maybe they're shy. And so sometimes shy people come off as standoffish, sometimes, not always. So even if they're shy, like I make it mean nothing about me now. And I'm so often like saying to myself, like, oh, that's just them. Yep. That's just them, right?
Yeah, which is fair. I liked your recent post too around analyzing other people. And I'll read a couple of the quotes that you mentioned in it. It was like a carousel swipe through on Instagram. And this is July 22nd. So it was somewhere around this time, if anybody wants to go back and find the whole post here. But you mentioned you were talking about analyzing other people and how you used to do that and how this is, you know, was not helpful whatsoever. And you said, this analyzing didn't help me find the right friends. It had me judging the shit out of other people. When you're judging other people, 90% of that time, you'll also judge yourself because judgment is a thinking habit. And then you go on to say that analyzing and judging other people also made me miss all the ways how people could have been great friends for me. I loved that. And like almost all of this judgment, of course, other people, you know, it's kind of the flip of what we were talking about of, you know, just letting it go. If you feel like you're getting judgment from somebody else and, you know, that's their problem, not my problem kind of thing. But at the same time too, we are also all prone to judging other people and throwing that out there as well. And all it does for you is make you feel disconnected.
Yes, exactly. It just creates disconnection. So yeah, what I was referring to then is especially while I was like, oh, I want new friendships. What I noticed that I did in the beginning of that journey was I was looking for like the right friends. And I know I was talking about ideal friendships. Where would your ideal people be? And I think that's an important question to have. And it can totally be taken too far where we can just really be like analyzing and being like, okay, like, is this person like the perfect friend for me? Nobody is going to be. But also it totally has you just like being in your head, judging yourself. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
It's so common.
I love that post. You have a lot of really great things on your Instagram and in general, a lot of thought-provoking pieces to it. I also really liked this thought download exercise that you take. It seems like you might take a lot of your clients through it. And this might have been some of your early days with productivity as well, but I think it really applies to friendship. Can you talk a little bit about what the thought download exercise is and how it might be useful in some of these situations?
Yeah. So the thought download exercise is really, so a lot of people like struggle with like journaling. Journaling can be really helpful, but they're like, oh, I don't do it every day, or like I have a hard time talking to myself. And I was one of those people, so I feel you. But a thought download, what it really is it's especially great if you're feeling like a lot of anxiety or a lot of emotion, but it's where you like just like list all of the thoughts that you are having. And the reason why this is so helpful is because it allows you to separate yourself a bit from what you're thinking and to watch it. And when you are watching it rather than being in it and believing it, first of all, it helps the emotion dissipate from your body, but it's also easier to then realize that your thoughts are not facts. They're not facts. And so often, well, first of all, our brain is like meant to like observe, and we are not meant to decipher all day long. Like, oh, that was just a thought. That's not a fact. Like our brain just takes things as observations and just takes them as truth. But it's really important, especially when you are going out and like making new friends. If you're noticing that, like, for example, like you're thinking like, oh, they already have enough friends, or, oh, I don't know if they really liked me. And to give yourself space to like write that down and notice that that is just a thought and not a fact, can allow you to question it a little bit. And just that like questioning alone is super empowering for my clients. Doesn't mean you have to go to like an airy fairy place where you're like, oh my God, she totally wants to be, doesn't mean you have to go there. But it allows you again to not just like be in like the believing of it and then reacting from that place.
Of course. Yeah. I don't think you're asking people to be this like aloof optimist with this exercise, but more so just a realist. And I think the thought download exercise helps you pinpoint other potential areas or other potential ways that that might have been interpreted. Like, for example, I know you were talking about, you were at this event and you were speaking with a friend, and then another mutual friend maybe, or their, you know, friend of theirs came up, and your friend's attention totally flipped over to them. And for a moment, you were like really disappointed that you weren't interesting or entertaining enough. But then I heard you mention like a minute or two later that, okay, maybe they just hadn't seen that person in a long time and they were like excited to reconnect with them. And there is nothing wrong with that. Whenever you stop making it about you and you realize that there are two parties or multiple parties in this whole thought process, maybe all of your initial thoughts aren't necessarily facts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, that comes from, it's also a habit to like observe your thoughts and to realize like, oh, like this is just a thought, like in that moment, because that's really what it was. Was all it took was like, oh, like I'm just like thinking that, and like that could not be true immediately, right?
No doubt. So let's flip the conversation more towards creating deeper friendships. And I mentioned how we are going to break this out. So many of us actually have a lot of potential friends in our life. Like there are just many people that we already know. The real problem is bringing those people closer to us and really creating the, you know, what we're going to term friendtimacy. You know, it's intimate friendships. I mentioned there are three things that every friendship needs. And I don't know where we got this or if you know, one of the researchers was the one that I picked this up from, but I liked how they broke it out. They said, every friendship needs three things: feel good moments. That makes sense to me. Frequency. We talked about that earlier. And vulnerability, which is like a really tight pedal to be pushing down on. You know, it's not like you meet someone and you full throttle into vulnerability right away. But, you know, you actually have to find the right balance between that and you ultimately get more and more vulnerable over time there. So, and, you know, just bringing it back to the initial thought here, we already kind of have enough people in our life. We just need to create deeper friendships with them. Is this the crux of what you see with a lot of your coaching clients?
Yes. Yes. So often we like want to like start over, and that is daunting and also kind of sucks. Like that's hard. Oh, I got to go find the right people out in the world. I have no idea where they are. No, so many of us, I know myself personally too, we're involved in like so many things throughout our lives. We honestly, unless you are living off of the land in a cabin by yourself, like Thoreau or something, like we are all around so many people. Sometimes like we can get overwhelmed with how many people there are in our lives, right? So yeah, it's super important to just like think about who in your life. This is actually exactly what I did when I was recognizing that I was feeling really lonely, was I thought about who, again, who are the people that I want to be around? And again, for me, it was people that want to make an impact. Then I really thought about like, okay, who do I already know in my life? And immediately you would be surprised at how many people come to your mind. Like the list was so long. People that I actually already know that are in my orbit that I already like. And so what I did was I picked five of them and was like, okay, like I'm going to reach out to these people and like reconnect with them. And again, like create some consistency where I can with these people. And I wasn't like attached on who ended up being my close friend or not. But two of the girls are in my priority friends now. They asked me the other day, it was actually really funny. We all went on a trip together and they were like, Joel, we've been reading like your posts and stuff. And we know that like you joke that like you used like your process to make be our friend, but can you break it down? They were like asking me about it. So I told them what I did and how I became friends with them. But really, honestly, what it was I wasn't like super attached again, but I just created consistency with them and I just reconnected with these people. And to them too, it's also, we have to think about like, it's such a gift for them as well. They're always telling me like how grateful they are that I used my work on them. But I hadn't like talked to them before this in like years, 5 or so years. So I really encourage people to think about who they already like connected with, who do they already like, who already in their circle represents like their values. And you're going to be so shocked at how many people there are. And then from there, so it's again like Shasta Nelson that came up with the 3 things that every friendship needs. So feel good moments. Shasta has this great example of like a triangle. And at the bottom of the triangle is the feel good moments. Like the feel good moments. And the reason why I call it anyway, the feel good moments, is because it's not just like positive interactions. It's also like you might be feeling bad, but it's like maybe you're getting like supported or you're feeling like really seen by somebody. Like you're like sharing something and you feel seen. But it's also moments again, like fun and like comfort. Like those moments is where everything starts. And then on the 2 sides of the triangle going up to the point is consistency and then vulnerability. I like to break consistency down into 2 parts. So all of us, not all of us, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people have like a friend that they've had since like kindergarten, or like they've been friends since 8th grade. And they're like, that's not true. Like, I don't need to like talk to that person all the time. Yes, to like, you don't need to talk to them all the time to feel connected. But that's because you have so much history. You have so much time already invested. You have so much time of comfort, of vulnerability, of feel good moments. So that's why those relationships, you can still feel really close to them, even if you talk to them like once every couple months. But for a new friendship, we don't have that time built up. We don't have that like history together. So we need like more frequency. Which is why if you are making new friends and you're going to like the rock climbing gym twice a week, you're getting a lot of frequency with people. It's going to be so helpful in creating, knowing, and having more feel-good moments. And then again, like you said, vulnerability. One thing that I did was I was such an oversharer because I understood that, okay, like vulnerability is going to be super amazing and it's going to help me feel close to people. I understood that that was necessary, but I took it a little far. And I would just like overshare with people and ask like such deep questions with people when like it was like my first time like hanging out with them. And that can feel a little intrusive because you don't have that familiarity built up. It would be like, again, if like you get a new job, you walk in. Again, we talked about earlier how it's a little uncomfortable. You're a little like on edge. You're like, your brain's getting used to the space. You might not know where the bathroom is. But that would be like going there in like your pajamas without like brushing your teeth and just like laying down in the floor like that. It would be like equivalent to that. So it doesn't mean, now some people on the other side, most people I would argue are undersharers. And what I want to offer to those people is that try to think of, and this I guess goes for oversharers as well, try to think of something that you want the person to know about you and that you want to know about them, that you're just curious about. And that way doesn't have to feel hard to like open up either. It can just be like more of like, I want them to know this and I want to like learn this about them. Because really what vulnerability is, it's allowing yourself to be seen. So that was a huge tangent.
No, I love the tangent. And I think that gives us a good baseline for vulnerability. Tell me a little bit more about feel good moments, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it from the lens of music festivals. And I have music festival crews that I go with. And there's usually a couple new people that are in that group whenever we go. And it's such an amazing weekend long experience that almost by the end of it, we are all feeling really close and connected. And I'm assuming because we are like cranked up to 100 on the whole feel good moments too. Like we're all in the shared space of going and seeing live music and sleeping together and, you know, the same household and like eating together and getting ready and doing this whole grind of music festivals. Is that what we mean by when we talk about feel good moments?
Yes, it absolutely is. But also consistency and vulnerability are also happening during those trips. That's actually like a hack. So when I was creating my, again, like my dream, like friend group, I call them, one thing that I did was I asked them to like go on like a girls trip with me, because this is why the music festival thing is so powerful is because you're having a lot of time invested. It's kind of like if anybody has ever gone to summer camp, they get it. Like you walk in, you like meet some people, and then by like, you might only be there for a week, but they feel like your best friend when you're leaving. And it's because you've spent so much time with them. Additionally, too, especially like the music festival example, it's vulnerable to have somebody see you when you go to bed and when what you look like when you wake up in the morning. It's vulnerable, even like for some people to like eat in front of other people. It's vulnerable. Yeah. Like if you have like a work friend and then they come to your apartment, that's vulnerability because they haven't been to that space before, right? They're seeing you in your space in like a completely different way. So honestly, that's the hack right there, is to have like weekends like that, because it allows for feel good moments, but also it allows for so much time, so much consistency to be had, and vulnerability to be had too.
That makes sense. Yeah. And then let's talk a little bit more about the frequency aspect too. Do you have a recommendation on what frequency looks like? I know I'm going to force you into a blanket statement on that, but do you have like a rough idea? Is this like once a week or every other week or twice a week? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. So it's different for everybody. And the reason why is because at the end of the day, our thoughts is what really helps us feel connected or not. Everything that is like actionable that I'm like talking about today is great in helping you have more of those thoughts. But at the end of the day, if like you could do everything that we're talking about and still have thoughts, like negative thoughts about yourself or other people or whatever it is, and not feel closer and connected. So I really want to say that your thinking matters way more than that, this frequency suggestion I'm about to throw out. But I like to say, so often I see girls, like they'll get together for like once a month for like brunch. That's only 12 times a year, my friend. And let's say the brunch is like 2 hours. So that's 24 hours with that person. There's research, I don't know exactly who did it, but where they suggest that it takes about 200 hours to make like a best friend. So if you're getting 24, like, you know, that's...
You got a long time still. Yeah, you got like 8 years of monthly brunches to go.
Exactly. So I like to say like weekly, or for some people, because I get it. Some people are like, yo, like I have toddlers. Like again, my friend, like I have kids that I am dealing with. I know for a lot of your people, maybe they're starting out with their career and they're just like spending like a ton of time doing that, or like a side hustle or something. So what I want to offer is that really, this is important. It's going to make all the rest of your lives easier if you're feeling connected and not feeling lonely. It's important for your health. So I really suggest weekly or every other week. And what really stops people from doing this is the logistics of it. Make it easier on yourself. One thing that I do with my friends that are in town is we meet every other Thursday for a game night. We don't have to think about it. Nobody has to, like, there might be some days, right, where someone's got something going on or whatever, but there's no more like logistic, like, oh, when does it work? When your schedule work? That is one of the biggest things. People get really hung up on that. Or again, your thoughts really matter. You get super upset if somebody doesn't respond right away, or like you don't hear back from them for a while. I'm the worst at responding. So I promise, as somebody who's terrible, it's not personal. But yeah, like don't let like the logistics stop you. Like be patient in getting that started. And one thing that is super helpful to do is I love that when I'm with somebody and I know, again, I want to move them up my triangle, right, of feel good moments, consistency, and vulnerability. I want to move them up. I want to have more consistency with them. I want to be closer to them. Plan the next time you're going to hang out while you're still together.
Yes. Such a good idea.
Yeah, because that way you don't have to worry about like, right? Like, because if someone's like busy one day and doesn't get back from you or like whatever, you don't have to worry about like that logistical game, if you will.
Yeah, my best friend in Austin is very good about that. Every single time I feel like we're like saying goodbye, it's like, hey man, when am I going to see you next? This, you know, what's next? You know, you want to go climb on Thursday? You want to play soccer this day? You want to grab drinks on Friday? Like, he's very good about making sure that he has at least the next time that we're meeting and spending time together, like booked before he walks away and says goodbye. So I love that little hack. And I didn't really think about it until I heard you mention it maybe on another podcast or on your Instagram or something. But I was like, that is so good, because you're right. The the hard part, I feel like, is you meet someone, you have that giddiness of like, oh my gosh, they're solid. Like they could so be one of my good friends. And then a few days go by, I'm dating similar to this as well. And like, you haven't heard from them. And then you start second guessing it. And then you're like, I don't know. I don't want to like waste their time. I know they mentioned that they're really busy and, or like, oh, it's okay. Like they'll reach out to me whenever they're ready. And that's just like, just a disaster of just like, okay, that was just like a one and done deal wherever you hung out. And then a month goes by and then now you no longer really feel comfortable asking when's the next time I can see you. And I know you'll bring home the fact that you are never bothering someone if you're reaching out for connection. And I love that thought.
Yeah, connection is such a gift. And again, 3 out of 5 Americans are feeling lonely right now. Like there's so many like stats out there. What a gift to offer other people. And you truly never know. One of the girls that I mentioned that is now one of my priority friends that I like sought out is somebody who has a lot of friends. And I could have let that one little thought stop me. And honestly, I would have been robbing her of being friends with me and of having our friendship, right? Because she loves our friendship. She tells me all the time how grateful she is for it. And I could have robbed her of that if I really just let that thought stop me from reaching out to her. And again, it's important to note, again, I think I picked like 5 people that I wanted to try with. And sometimes, right, you're not going to get like the same mutual interest back. Most of the time, I really want everyone to hear me on this. Most of the time, you have to keep reaching out more than you think you do, right? Like we so want other people to make us feel comfortable by reciprocating or being enthusiastic about us. I really want to encourage everybody to be the one to go first, be the willing to go first, because that is just so big. That alone like stops a lot of people. So they're like, oh, well, they didn't seem as interested. No, keep reaching out.
So Jewel, as we wrap up this conversation, would love to point people your direction if friendship might be something they're struggling with and they do need support. You do friendship and connection coaching, which is so cool and niche. And that's awesome. You have so much like interesting thoughts around both friendship research, the actionables that you actually took and, you know, worked through yourself. So if they are interested in reaching out, getting connected with you, learning a little bit more about what you do, where's a good place for them to go?
Yeah. So most people go to my Instagram. So it's just @jewel.homan. You got to use like the gross part of your throat to say my last name. People will remember it though. @jewel.homan. I put a lot of like tips on there, just like this, a lot of thoughts, again, because that's the thing that's really going to help you. And I have my website, which is just jewelhoman.com.
Jewel, my final question for you. If you had the opportunity to teach a 16-week class to a group of graduating college seniors on a topic that isn't normally covered in the classroom, what would you teach and how would you teach it?
Yes. Okay. So I would teach how to be comfortable in any room that you were in. And again, like what we talked about, like deep friendship. Both of these two things I would really teach through learning how to like manage your mind, learning how to direct your mind and direct your thoughts. What's super fun is sometimes I work with people that, you know, are much older than me, like in their 40s or 60s even. And sometimes I work with people that are much younger than me. Just recently, I got 2 new clients that are just graduating from college. So I love this question because those things alone, like that's going to help them with their careers, like feeling comfortable and confident and like leading groups if they want to. It's going to be helpful for, you know, like if they meet like their future partner's family, like it's everything, right? Yeah. I'm also just like so jazzed for them that they have it now at such a young age.
Yes.
So that's what I would teach.
No, that'd be such a fun class to teach. Also, like a really interesting setting to do that in like a college environment. So that would be really fascinating.
Yeah,
but Jewel, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so glad that you and I got to connect and that we're building our relationship here and that you came on and shared so much insight around friendship and connection, which I believe is so important for everybody. I think this is universal. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't or isn't seeking connection. So thank you so much for coming on and, you know, spending some time with me.
I just appreciate you so much. You, oh my gosh, you clearly like did so much like research and like dove into this and it made it even more fun to like talk about things. So thank you so much for having me and talking about this because I know like there are people listening that are like, oh, like they can kind of like take like a sigh of relief. And that is because of like the space that you are offering with like the kind of conversations that you're having. Whether that be, I know you talk about like finances a lot, and especially I believe anyway, of course, about this. So thank you for having me and for doing what you do, because I know so many people just, again, like I know that they can like breathe after listening to your podcast. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to the episode. As always, I appreciate your kind words. If you want to leave us a rating and review on your podcast player right now, that would absolutely make my day. If you want to find episode show notes, our blog, and other great resources, head over to tsirpodcast.com. If you have follow-up questions, an idea for a future episode, or just want to say hi, we have a contact form on our website, and those messages go straight into my inbox, and I promise you, I will reply. But all right, guys, I really appreciate you tuning in. I love you all, and you're not alone. Let's keep making it through our struggles together. Mm-hmm.